This is Jamie with Domestic Fuels, and I am standing here with Bob Dineen, 28th Annual Fuel Ethanol Workshop here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Bob, talk to me a little bit about the challenges facing the ethanol industry here in 2012.
Well, there are marketplace challenges because margins are tight right now, but those are temporary, and this is a commodity market selling into a commodity market, so it's doubly challenging today. But with the crop that's expected, I think most of the people around this room are fairly optimistic that we'll get through those. What is maybe a little bit more difficult to see a road through is the challenges in Washington, D.C., where our opponents, those who are quite comfortable with our use of oil and want to see cheap corn, are doing everything they possibly can to unravel the policies that have built this industry, specifically the renewable fuel standard. And the RFS is under attack in Washington today. I don't see for a moment that it will be unraveled this year, but they will continue to fight next year, and they'll continue to fight in the courts. And I think it's really important for the industry to know that the wolves are at the door, to recognize the tremendous resources that our opponents are throwing at this, and to be prepared.
Well, you mentioned RFS, and sitting right here, I can see your "Don't Mess with RFS" button, and you mentioned that during your speech. Is that just one small tool you guys are utilizing to keep the RFS standard in place?
Oh, sure. You got to have a button, right?
Yeah, everyone has to.
That's what makes a campaign. but it also, I think, reflects the seriousness with which we take this. The RFS has been a tremendous success. When the first renewable fuel standard was enacted in 2005, we were 60% dependent on imported oil for our liquid transportation fuels. And today we are just 45% dependent. That is a consequence of the growth in ethanol. That is a result of the Renewable Fuels Association. That's because the people in this room who produce ethanol day in and day out have been so successful. So, you know, we need to remind members of Congress, public policymakers, and the media just how successful this program has been, lest we lose the single most important policy for this nation's energy and economic security in a generation.
It could be a big deal. Tell us a little bit about maximizing demands. You mentioned that, and what those demands need to be met for the ethanol industry.
Well, certainly we've got to continue to build demand, and we're building it overseas as well as here in the States. The export market is going to continue to be a very important market for our industry's profitability. And in terms of here in the States, you know, the E15 market has got to arrive. We think that it's going to quite soon. We look forward to EPA perhaps providing some certifications for gasoline marketers that choose to use E15 and offer it to their customers sometime this week or next. It's going to happen within days, not weeks. And, you know, that could potentially build domestic demand. It's not going to build it a great deal overnight. It's going to take a while for that market to grow, but we're going to keep slogging away and just try to make sure we can get beyond that 10% of the gallon.
So is it easy to assume that the future is bright for the ethanol industry?
Well, see, I'm just a dumb Irishman who happens to be a Red Sox fan. So I'm always optimistic. I've worked in this industry for 25 years, and I've seen what the people in this room have been able to accomplish, how they can squeeze every drop of profitability out of their facilities. And I have just a great deal of confidence they're going to continue to grow and evolve. So, yeah.
Thank you, Bob. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think you got it.
Well, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.